Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Transformed Traveler, America's favorite show where we talk about traveling through your five senses. I'm your host, Rick Tocchini, with my sidekick,
Carla.
And we hope that you enjoyed Carla's show last week as you were talking to Ellen, who's the publisher of Afar magazine. If you didn't get to listen to that, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and put in Ellen or Afar magazine into your search bar. And we've got some really cool shows coming up in the near future. Besides the wonderful one we have today playing with Jim Kane, founder of Culture Explorers, on the 19th we'll have today's show. Travel correspondent Colleen Lannon will be on. On the 21st, I'm going to be interviewing Greg Sullivan, who works for Ellen as the editor of Afar magazine. And then we've got Ali Almerio, who is from Mitsun Mountains, on the 7th of February. And then Simon Vaness will be back on from World Cruisers as the whole cruise season kicks off. On today's show is just a great guy. I mean, a big thinker. Jim Kane, founder of Culture Explorers. We are so glad to have you on the Transform Traveler today. Jim, welcome on.
Thank you so much, Rick. It's a real pleasure for me.
Yeah, likewise. Tell our listening audience about where you're from originally and how did you get into the travel industry and especially kind of get into this special space and initiative that you guys are all about at Culture Explorers.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. I didn't grow up with traveling or being exposed to other cultures. It really came later in life. I grew up in and around Philadelphia, spent through my college years there. And then I only stepped outside the U.S. after I graduated university, which I think nowadays that's you know, less and less common. People are traveling abroad earlier and earlier. And I have a 3.5-year-old son now, and he's already taken his first trip. So I'm coming from a different generation, where at least I, in my situation, didn't have a lot of that exposure. But when it came hard and fast, and really brought me in. I would say the thing that really changed the direction of my life was my first trip to South America. That was in 1994, and prior to that, I had been doing some work in marketing and sales, and been doing fine, working with a great company. But I wasn't passionate at all about the product or my position. It was more than anything, I liked the folks I worked with. But it prompted me to take a year off and travel to South America. And I'll go back a half a step because it was a 3-week experience in South America that really planted the seed for me to then take off a year and travel and study and learn the language. And I'll go back to that first trip just for a second. Okay. At the time, I didn't speak any Spanish, and I just went with a couple of buddies, and it was a typical sort of young American vacation, sort of a turbo tour through 4 countries in South America. But what it did, even though it wasn't a particularly, you know, deep or powerful experience, or at least my motivations for it weren't, more it was just, you know, seeing these incredible places. But what happened during that trip was one of my friends who spoke good Spanish, what I saw was all the wonderful conversations and access he had into the culture, into friendships, into people's stories. And I was feeling you know, left out, but more than anything, it just made me want to delve into that. So I thought to myself, hey, I've never studied abroad, I've never lived abroad, and that was the seed that was really planted. Then a year and a half later is when I took off for a year and moved to Venezuela and Ecuador and immersed myself for a year in the culture and the language.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We would say that you are a poster child for the Transform Traveler Show then. Because
you moved
from, as you call it, a turbo tour into a full immersion into a culture. And the great thing is that you created this company where people can get close to that same kind of experience. So when was Culture Explorers founded?
Well, we were started in 2003. We're actually celebrating 10 years this year. But since that time, from my first, well, when I lived for a year in South America in 1996 to 2003, I was also working in the field of educational travel. When I came back from that year-long trip, I started working with a company that specialized in language travel, sending people abroad to learn languages. Primarily, we focused in the Spanish-speaking world. And, of course, there's some great opportunities for immersion and cultural exchange in those environments. But when it was time for me to do my own project, I built up a lot of relationships on the ground in the countries that we now travel to. But two, I thought to myself, you know, language travel is fantastic, and anyone who asks me about it, I always recommend it. But a lot of folks are in a different space in their life, a different time period, want cultural immersion, but don't necessarily have the time to dedicate to what it would take to, you know, to immerse themselves fully in the language, or want, you know, more of a slice of life experience. So they have a more limited time, but I wanted to transport people into that space where they could feel connected and engaged and have a reciprocal experience with the host community without necessarily having mastered the language. And that was my motivation for starting Culture Explorers.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's kind of an easy way to get the experience without having to have a command of the foreign language,
Yeah, exactly. And while it's always nice for people to learn a few words of any language of a place they're going to travel to, you know, let's face it, there's 5,000 living languages in the world. It's impossible to learn the language of every country that you want to visit. And people are sometimes, you know, intimidated by that, apparent cultural barrier. But what you find is there are ways to break through that barrier and to engage people in a natural, genuine way that don't require, you know, mastery of the language. And so we found a lot of ways to do it. One of the most fun ways that takes place in all of our trips nowadays is through food, from a farm to fork, sort of around the table approach, where it's not just about the meal, but it's about meeting the producers behind the meal, rolling up your sleeves together with them, sitting down for a great conversation and laughter and maybe a drink or two with the meal. And so you sort of have this immersive experience that takes you deep into a place and its local culture, you know, but in a different way.
Yeah, that is so much about the heart of our show, too, because as you go through the five senses and taste is important, but isn't it great to appreciate the source and the origin of that food? When I was growing up, not to date me, but one of my favorite shows was I Love Lucy, where she was stomping the grapes in Italy. And and that was back in the 1950s, and vacations from 1964 on were always about doing something like that. So there's a great appreciation for that. And before we go on with any other questions with you, just we read an article recently, Jim, that children between 3 and 8, when they're taught a foreign language, that is the window of time when the brain works to help them actually speak it authentically with the accent. So your son is now in that great window of time to really pick up Spanish or Portuguese and speak it authentically, not like the Tokinis do.
I agree that it's a great time for Logan, my son, to learn. And as you know, Rick, even though you may speak with an accent, you know how much people appreciate it and how many great stories and conversations you're able to enter via that skill. But I will say that Logan, at this point, actually prefers Spanish to English with his mommy and daddy. My wife, I met my wife while I was living in Venezuela. She is Venezuelan, and we actually speak to Logan at home in Spanish, and then he has his daycare in English, and his friends, of course, and speak English. So we are raising him bilingual.
That's tremendous. Children will get develop such a passion for travel. And in the case of your son, with the company that you've got, maybe someday he will want to take over the business from dear old dad.
I was gonna say, Rick, my wife might talk him out of it, but I would love for him to be involved in some way with bridging cultures with learning about and understanding and participating in other cultures. It's been a real passion of mine, and if he shares that as he gets older, I'd certainly love it.
You bet. That's great. One of the questions that we've got for you going into today's show, because we wanted to focus on Peru, northern Spain, and northern Portugal, is when mm-hmm. Carla interviews people, or I interview people, especially those that are in the travel industry, we always wonder about how do you prioritize where you want to take people, considering there's so many different places in this world. So let's start with Peru. Why is Peru such a special country and one of focus for culture explorers?
Sure. Well, they're both great questions. I do have a formula that I use for when I create a new destination. I say the word formula, purposefully a little bit tongue in cheek. The real magic occurs when there's a country or a region that has a great hub city, great living culture, wonderful heritage and history, amazing food, and the infrastructure that we love to use, which are locally run boutique lodges, and so that's where I first look. What is, does it have sort of a whole package in a manageable amount of space, and does it have a great hub where we can be based for a few nights and just explore by day and do a whole bunch of different great stuff? The second piece of that is equally important. And that's, what is my local network? What are my local contacts? Because that's going to provide us the access that most operators and most other companies don't necessarily have without a deep local network of friends and colleagues and guests that can be hosts, that can come out with us for a day, that can show us behind the scenes, whether it's on an herb farm in the Sacred Valley, or whether it's a chef doing a ceviche presentation for us in Lima, or whether it's a weaver's cooperative that we've been working with for now nearly a decade to help sustain the textile traditions in Peru, that gives us a special access and a special insight, so that we feel like we're being welcomed by local friends and not just going on another trip.
So through your filter, it's possible that some countries may be not as qualified now, but they could evolve to qualifying, like Burma or Laos or Vietnam right after the war wouldn't have qualified. But now through your formula, it may be one of those transformative countries that's a must-to-see.
Well, it's absolutely right. And Rick, it's funny that you mention Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia and that area of the world. I was truly transformed in my trip to Laos and northern Thailand. And I'll tell you that as we look to new destinations and that criteria that I mentioned, when we were talking before coming on air, I mentioned the director of our nonprofit foundation. Well, she lived in Vietnam for a year, and she's been working there with artists and others in Hoi An for the last several years. And so actually Vietnam and Cambodia are at the top of our list for future destination development, because they have all those special things that I mentioned as wonderful, rich, varied countries and hub cities that we love. And now, thanks to the connections of our foundation director, those real wonderful on-the-ground personal connections, it's gotten that magic match that we need to make it a new destination. So Vietnam and Cambodia will be a destination for us in the next 18 months.
That's tremendous. And so tell us a little bit more about Peru and your textile tradition. How did that get started? And I understand that to be an important part of your entire soul as a company.
Well, it absolutely is, and it goes back to sort of we're, you know, while I talked about our mission being about making travel more reciprocal and connected and engaged, it indeed is. And three of the pillars, you know, that form the base of our philosophy are people, traditions, and impact, and that is meeting the people, the countries of visit, participating in and engaging in the living traditions, the local traditions, and the third pillar is making a positive impact through our travels. And so the sustaining textile traditions really came as part of all three of those. What happened was when we first started traveling to Peru in 2003, I came across an amazing textile cooperative, a weaver's cooperative, run by a woman named Nilda Cain-Yalpa. She's a National Geographic grantee. She's really spent the last now 2 decades of her life trying to revive and sustain a 2,000-year-old tradition of natural textile making in the Peruvian Andes. And so when we would visit their co-op and we'd learn about these wonderful traditions, and we'd have a demonstration by the local weavers, which was all great. But I sat down with Nilda and I said, what else can we do to engage more deeply and, you know, to make a positive impact, to not just come and learn, but also to reciprocate, to give back, and to make our visits there meaningful in that way. So we came up with the idea of a Weavers Awards, where with the weavers from, at the time, this is in 2004 when we started, there were 5 communities and about 300 or 400 weavers involved, and we would come together on an annual basis. Of course, it's all run by Nilda and her cooperative and the individual board members of each community to pick the winners. But Culture Explorer's role was a financial catalyst to come together. We started with prize money that started around $2,000 per year, and now it's grown with between contributions from the Weavers Cooperative itself and from Culture Explorers. The prize money is now around $10,000 a year. It involves now over 600 weavers from 9 Andean communities that submit their pieces. They're judged. The winners from each community come together for one day of the year, and that's when we celebrate together. Whether there's a Culture Explorers group there or not, we've been sponsoring and sort of sustaining those awards for the last, well, we'll be celebrating our 9th year in 2013.
Isn't that amazing? Carla and I run an international art competition, and it's intriguing to us about what you do, and then tied into this positive impact photo contest. I'll just make a comment, and then we want you to talk about this, that we have found some of the most beautiful people and soulful people and artists that never would have been discovered unless there was a contest. And it's like, who was blessed more, us or the artist? And I'd love for you to just comment on that.
Well, yeah, it's a wonderful thought, and you're absolutely right. And the truth is, you're both blessed because you came together, and that's the magic of it. But the positive impact photo contest, what we did, again, thanks to the inspiration of our foundation director, Sherry Berger, we decided, you know, we're all about, one of the things we've really tried to do in the last year plus is to engage our travelers, not just on the trip, but throughout the year. And so one of Sherry's ideas to, of course, support the work of our foundation, but also to have our travelers participate And actually, Rick, this contest that we run is open to travelers of all sorts, not just those that have been on Culture Explorers trips, but frankly, they can have been on any other tour operator's journey. They could have traveled independently. They could have lived abroad. What we want is to start a conversation. And so we started this Positive Impact Photo Contest to say, hey, let's do a twist on the traditional photo contest. So to submit pictures and stories that match the picture that show how travel can be a tool for positive change or a catalyst for positive change, and to show that in both images and an attached story. So we had a great time last year looking through all the entries. And this year, in 2013, we haven't quite made the announcement yet, but we will in the next 30 days or so. We're going to be launching our second annual Positive Impact Photo Contest. And this year, we've decided to up the ante a little bit. So I mentioned the Weavers Awards that we talked about just a few moments ago. Well, this year's winner is going to be invited to spend 3 days and three nights with a handful of fellow travelers in the Sacred Valley to participate in this year's Weavers Awards in Chinchero, Peru. So we're hoping that really generates a lot of excitement and, of course, additional entries and additional storytelling about how travel can be a tool for positive change.
Yeah, that is great. And just to I'm going to call out this website, and it's somewhat lengthy, but we'll post it on our website as well. But to find out about the Positive Impact Photo Contest, go to culturexplorers.com/cx-positive-impact-photo-contest-entries. Or I think if you just went to your website, Culture Explorers, you can probably find out about the Positive Impact Photo Contest as well. Is that correct, Jim?
Absolutely, Rick. Absolutely. Just cultureexplorers.com, and then there's a tab on the top that's called Positive Impact. And there, people can see stories about all of our foundation's projects and partnerships, including the Positive Impact Photo Contest.
Okay, that's great. And Carl, you want to ask about the Sacrifice Valley? We raised some eyebrows when you said Sacrifice Valley. Tell us about that.
I meant to say, and I hope I did, Sacred Valley. I'm not sure if it was a connection or if I just stumbled over my tongue, but the Sacred Valley of Peru. Sacrifice Valley is going to be something else. I'm not sure, but the Sacred Valley of Peru.
Okay, that is great. Well, we've got about 7 minutes left. Let's jump over and kind of split that time between northern Spain and northern Portugal. Tell us about upcoming planned trips by Culture Explorers to both of those beautiful parts of the world.
Sure. Well, they both tie in so wonderfully to that around the table atmosphere that I described. And so in northern Spain, remember before we were talking about those beautiful hubs and regions where we can do a lot in a limited amount of geographic space. Well, one, I happen to live in Spain for a year around the year 2000, and I've kept in touch with many friends and contacts since. But the Basque Country in the north is an incredible hub of living traditions, of proud heritage, of course, autochthonous languages, and wonderful, wonderful experiences around the table with food. And so one of our main new trips is to the Basque Country. It's called Basque Country Bonds, we're calling it. And it's just terrific. I mean, in Bilbao, for instance, everyone knows about the wonderful Guggenheim Museum, and of course we'll visit the Guggenheim. We don't ever miss any of the standard kind of classic highlights of a place. But then again, we always try to dig deeper. So, for instance, we've gotten to become friends with Darren, who's this award-winning pincho chef. And pinchos are the Basque equivalent of the Spanish tapa, the small dishes made into art. And so he'll hold a master class for us and a demonstration of some of the pinchos that have won literally national awards in Spain. One day we'll go. We always like to mix it up between urban environments and countryside, especially in Basque Country, which is so beautiful. One day we do something called Shepherd for a Day, where we shadow a Basque shepherd, hike along mountain meadows with him. We'll milk the sheep. If it's shearing season, we'll get to try our hand at shearing a sheep, help make fresh cheese, and then, you know, and then sit down with a glass of Chacolí, the local effervescent wine from the region, and have a great lunch and a conversation with the shepherd. There's more. I don't want to talk without pausing, but those are just two. I mean, there's about five or six of these wonderful, wonderful special experiences that we do in that region.
Yeah, go ahead, Carla.
Well, I was just going to ask how we find out about the cost of doing any of these trips.
Sure. On our website, Carla, there are summary pages of each destination, and on those summary pages, you can find out about the overall cost of the program. However, the way, if people are interested and they want to find out about day-to-day, the day-to-day itinerary, and then all the details of the costs, that, you know, airfare and when it's included and when it's not, which meals, et cetera, I would ask people to contact me, and I'll immediately send them out a PDF itinerary via email, which shows what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. But for sort of a feel of how we travel and a feel for the experiences and a feel for the costs, you can find that on our website under each destination.
That's great. Hey, one caller wants to know, we're going to have you back on, Jim, because we've got people who want to talk to you, and I knew this was going to happen, but they want to know if your style of traveling is limited to a certain age. I mean, if they're 65 and in good physical shape, can they do Culture Explorers?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, Rick, I would say, you know, really the bulk of our travelers are 45 to 75, and while the trips are active, they're accessible to everyone. So, yes, I mean, a 65-year-old in good physical shape who's culturally curious and wants to engage, you know, deeply in other cultures, is a perfect person to experience our trips.
No, that is great. Okay, we've got about a minute left to give a little bit of focus on northern Portugal. Anything in particular about that trip that you want to just highlight for us to whet our appetite?
Absolutely. I'll highlight just one experience there, given the short time, but I'll bring it back to what you were saying about I Love Lucy and the grape stomping. There happens to be, we run trips during the harvest season. We'll run trips nearly any time of year, but during the harvest season, it's particularly great in September, where we'll participate in the grape harvest in the Douro Valley for a day. And it involves picking and stomping grapes. It involves live music, lunch with the winemakers, and a wonderful, wonderful celebratory atmosphere that's just a great moment to experience in northern Portugal. There's a lot more, but I'll stick to that one example with our short time.
Well, Jim, everything you're talking about just lights us up, and we believe that travel is singularly one of the most illuminating things and greatest educations and way to transform perspective and understand and eliminate prejudice, et cetera. We've got to have you back, Jim. You are a great guest, and feel free to use our show as a platform to launch any of your new initiatives, and we'd love to have you and your wife on sometime so we could hear the other side.
that'll definitely be an entertaining. I would love it, Rick, and I want to thank you both, Rick and Carla, for having me on. It's been a real pleasure. I hope we can continue the conversation at another time, because it's something that lights us both up, and I'm happy to share with you both and with the audience at any time.
Well, that is great, and that, folks, that is Jim Kane, founder of Culture Explorers, and what a fantastic company and mission and vision that he has. And now, Carla, we know that his wife is one of the drivers behind it because of her ability to speak Spanish and Portuguese. And, you know, so that is great. We really appreciate Jim being on. And Folks, join us on our next Transform Traveler Show. We will be back on this week with a few more shows, and then our special show with Today Show correspondent Colleen Lannon will be on February 19th. Until then, embrace your adventure, travel through your five senses, and enjoy it. Happy trails to each of you.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.